This is the ICANN meeting, ICANN meeting 47. This is a CCGNSO members meeting, day one, part one.
So good morning, everybody, and welcome to day one of the CCNSO meeting. I'm going to ask the guy at the back if we could do the announcement and start the day. We're good to go. Wonderful. So welcome, everybody. Let me just say hello and run through our program for today. We're going to start with our... It seems the umpteenth discussion on financial contributions in the Finance Working Group. Then we are going to go on a little walk to Hall 6 for our meeting with the ICANN board. Hall 6, those of you who've been down that far will know it's a bit of a trek. So we will move to that one. Then we're back here after coffee for an IANA update. The presentation from the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, then the Finance and SOP Working Groups before lunch. And we very kindly have lunch sponsorship for today from .ng. After lunch, we move to our meeting with the GAC. And then after coffee, we have our session on multi-stakeholder models of CCTRD governance. And be really good for people to come to that one, because certainly multi-stakeholder models are particularly relevant in the international governance discussions. After that, we have an update on the IDN-PDP voting review, where sadly we fell just 3 votes short of the vote, so let's think about how we might deal with that one. Then we have a very swift ATRT review update. Unfortunately, we couldn't find much time to fit them in, but we will have some brief highlights, I'm sure, from that. And then to end off our day, we have the Domain Name Industry Association presentation. And then particularly important to everyone, this evening we have our CCNSO celebration cocktails. You don't need tickets to the event, but you do need to get on a coach that will leave here at 6:30. So it's leaving from the meeting venue at 6:30. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing colleagues and friends at that meeting. So it's a very important milestone for us. 10 years, doesn't seem like 5 minutes ago, but 10 years since the CCNSO was created. Okay, so that's our programme for today. And to start, let me hand over to Byron for the Finance Working Group.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Well, I think the good news is we can start to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I anticipate that the Finance Working Group should be able to put forward a recommendation to the Council at the Buenos Aires meeting with our conclusions after having spent some 2.5 years looking at this subject. So that's the good news. In the interim, there has actually been a fair amount of activity with the Finance Working Group since Beijing, at Beijing, and since Beijing, in particular with ICANN, the ICANN Finance Group itself, who after a considerable amount of time has produced numbers that we believe, after looking at them in some detail, are numbers that we can rely on and are consistently replicated by the ICANN finance team, which that in itself was an important step forward. So with that quick overview, what I would like to do today is really walk the group through how we have come to the conclusions that we're heading towards, and also to solicit any feedback from the broader community. The Finance Working Group is a relatively large working group, so we certainly have had considerable input from a considerable number of folks along the way during this journey. But I would also like to continue to solicit input from the broader CCNSO membership and beyond. So with that said, given that this working group has been a couple of years or more in the making, I wanted just to quickly step back and give you a sense of some of the milestones along the way in this journey. Some of you or many of you will probably remember what stimulated the formation of this working group, which was the former CEO's comments at the Nairobi meeting, and some of the statements made that this community should be funding ICANN to the tune of $10 to $12 million a year. And that was the former CEO's estimation of what ICANN was spending to support this community. Needless to say, we took some umbrage with that and first and foremost said, you know, fair enough, we don't think so, please explain. Those numbers were really not forthcoming until recently. But that was that moment, I think, was the real catalyst to review and renew the contribution scheme that this community has with ICANN. So in June of 2010, almost 3 years ago, this working group was formed. And through 2010 and 2011, we did an analysis of all the possible contribution models that we could look at, and we took guidance from other organizations within this community, like the regional organizations, different types of models, of fee-for-service models, etc. And over that period, continued to request from ICANN hard data where they could support that $10 to $12 million claim. It was not forthcoming during that period, but we continued on. And we also did the detailed survey that many of you will remember. And that really asked each and every one of us, you know, what resources, what services are you actually receiving from ICANN? And can you quantify those? And then also we looked at what are you as individual members contributing to ICANN? And did quite a detailed survey on that, and I think many of us will remember that that was presented, I believe, in Costa Rica to the broader community as well as to this community, and I think it was a little bit eye-opening to some of the other communities. During that whole period, we continued to request hard data from ICANN. It was not forthcoming. As we moved into 2012, Kevin Wilson, the former CEO, had moved on. Xavier was in the CFO seat. And it was last year in Prague that Xavier really came forward and said the EAG, or the expense area grouping, which is the term they used, the reporting methodology that ICANN was using was not valid. And that was something of a bombshell to all of us, because as incomplete as the data was, the fact is that was the reporting methodology that we were relying on, and the CFO basically came out and said, we can't rely on it. The EAG is dead. That said, I think that most definitely was a positive step forward. ICANN, since that time, has made some significant progress in their ability to report financially. That was also the period where, in the evolution of the work that we were doing, the Finance Working Group had started to settle on the notion of a value exchange model. And that really flowed from the work around the survey that you know what? Yes, ICANN expends non-trivial resources on this community, but this community participates and contributes financially and resource-wise in a very significant way to the benefit of ICANN. And that was a key, I'd say, turning point in the discussion with ICANN, and also getting ICANN to buy into that notion. Because that's a fundamental difference between strictly a fee-for-service model, ICANN does work, delivers a service, we pay, versus the notion that it's a two-way street. And you'll see why that is particularly meaningful in a moment. But that was, I would say, a turning point as well. And during that period, as we reviewed the models, we also, as a finance working group, came to the conclusion that the best path forward was an evolution of the model that we have today. I mean, we looked at them all. We examined 8 different possible scenarios, but at the end of the day came to the conclusion that an evolution of today's banded model would serve us best. Though certainly not perfect, it would be the most consistent and universally applicable model that we could have for this community. So we settled on the notion of a banded model based on domains under management, the same as we have today, though somewhat refined, as you'll see shortly. And as we moved into Toronto and Beijing meetings, ICANN became much crisper on their numbers. They were reviewed, iterated. We had a subcommittee essentially work very directly with Xavier and the finance function within ICANN to get comfort that the numbers were solid and replicable, which we did in the end get that comfort. So that is the fairly lengthy journey that this working group has been on, and as I'm sure many of you will recall, Tuesday mornings, you have heard this story to greater or lesser degrees over the course of those 2.5 years. So that brings us to where we are today. And where we are today is closing in on a recommendation for the council. And that recommendation will comprise a couple of elements. The first is really a framework, a set of principles, the guideline that you see before us. And these are sort of a half dozen bullet points that try to, in words, put forward the framework that the Finance Working Group is going to recommend to the Council, and that I believe ICANN can also live with and support, certainly based on the feedback that we've received to date. So without specifically reading every word on this page, we will make this available so you'll be able to have it shortly. First word in the title, voluntary. And I can't stress that enough. This is a voluntary regime for each and every one of us. So while we will, as a working group, put forward a set of recommendations, we can all have the comfort in recognizing that this is a voluntary regime. We also recognize as a community that ICANN, in fact, does expend material resources against this community and should be compensated fairly for that. Given ICANN's growing stature and certainly rapidly growing size and budget, we also make the point that given its public mandate, public interest mandate, we want to stress that those resources expended by ICANN should be done very efficiently and effectively. And as point number three, we wanted to make that statement. We also make note of the fact that while there's some homogeneity to this community, the fact is many of us work in very different operating environments, have different governance structures, have different business models, and that while we're trying to find a solution that will work well for most of us most of the time, the fact is we have very different environments that we work under, and there's quite a range or spectrum between one end and the other in terms of business models and operating environments within this community. And we make the note that we will be recommending a banded model of voluntary contributions, but also recognize that while this is a set of guidelines and recommendations, that at the end of the day, each individual CC will have to come to a conclusion with ICANN itself on whatever their arrangement is going to be. And as we know, some have an exchange of letters, exchange of commitments, relationship nearing a contractual relationship, etc. Those individual relationships will certainly supersede what is here. This is a voluntary regime, and anything that any individual CC organizes with ICANN would, in effect, supersede this. But this is really to give us guidance and guidelines. Final two points, recognizing that this is likely not to be a trivial change, that there would be a very reasonable ramp-up period in terms of any additional monies contributed by individual CC members to ICANN. So we're suggesting that it would be at the CC's discretion, but could include up to a 3 to 5 year ramp in or phase in of whatever the new contribution is. And that finally, for registries that are operating, or for operators that are in a sense managing or have multiple TLDs under their care, that we would suggest that you could look at the total domains across all of the registries or the individual registries themselves. That the registry operator would have the flexibility to make that determination for themselves, whatever they felt would be best for their particular situation. So those were the key guiding principles. I think there's 7 guiding principles that try to lay out the framework of how we ended up coming to the conclusions that we did. I would say we had rough consensus. We certainly had some good discussions and debate along the way. And as I said, this, given the many different operating models here, there's no perfect conclusion to this particular issue, but I think this is a fair and fairly equitable conclusion. Now, what did that actually look like in terms of the numbers? These are the numbers that ICANN finally brought forward in terms of what do they believe they expend against this community. And it seems surprising when I take a step back and think about the fact that it took 2 years to get these numbers. But nonetheless, here we have them, and they have been repeated consistently, and ICANN is standing behind these numbers as the numbers. And like I said, we even formed a smaller subcommittee to actually go through in much more detail the numbers with ICANN directly. So we have comfort that these are fair, or fairly represented at least. And it really breaks down into 3 categories. The specific expenses that go very directly against this or to support this community. Secretariat support would be an obvious example. Travel support for the Secretariat, etc. And some allocation for general expenses. And you can see that that total is $825,000 a year, which I think if you step back and say, for all that ICANN does specifically on behalf of this community, quite frankly, $825,000 is a fairly reasonable amount. That is not a lot of money given what is inside this particular category. The second category of three are shared expenses, and those are expenses that we as a community clearly share with other communities. An obvious example is the board. And we have two board members, and there's an allocation of two against the total. And that amounts to $377,000 as an example. But that's complete board support, travel, everything that the board does. ICANN meetings themselves, where we have a share in that. One of the things that, and this came from the survey, was really getting ICANN to recognize the very significant contribution that CC hosts make in ICANN meetings, and that's why you'll see that negative figure, or the $750,000 that we subtract from the overall number here. And then IANA and our portion, and again, this is an important thing, our portion of IDNs. Because when we started this discussion, really all expenses against IDNs were being lumped in our against this community. And as the GTLDs have started to roll out, this is actually just a portion of the IDN expense. So we got ICANN to recognize that as well. And you can see here that between the two specific and shared, ICANN has identified a number of just over $3.5 million annually that they expend in supporting this community. Now, the third category, the bottom one, called global, that was a very significant change in the nature of the discussion with ICANN at this point. Because when the former CEO was talking about a $10 to $12 million number, and we still believe there were significant issues within that number, but nonetheless, one of the key components in arriving at that number was the fact that they then took just the total operating budget of ICANN and said, roughly, CCs have 40% of the domains in the world, and therefore 40% of the total expenses of ICANN should get lumped against the CC community. And that was a fairly lengthy debate that we had over that particular issue, and that's where the biggest number actually came from. And you can see here now that that number is zero. That's a very big change from ICANN's perspective. And the reason for that was that notion of a value exchange, that we provide as a community a very significant number of resources that help ICANN too. And while the list became long enough that I couldn't actually fit it in this one cell, you know, we're kind of the living embodiment of the multi-stakeholder model. We're the boots on the ground that actually give credence to the multi-stakeholder model with, you know, pushing 140 members. More than any community, we really represent what that multi-stakeholder model means, and we, in our own environments, typically are a smaller version of the multi-stakeholder model, you know, in practical reality, in each of our own environments. Many of us help fund the IGFs or regional IGFs or the various internet fora within our own communities and foster our own local internet policies and policy development. And that has significant value to the broader multi-stakeholder model and to ICANN at large. Now, of course, ICANN does other things at a global level too, be it, you know, help with DNSSEC or IPv6 adoption, and many other things, work with the GAC, etc., that we do benefit from, But what we came to conclusion and agreement with ICANN was the fact that we will not come to a perfect number here, but we have to be okay with the fact that what we contribute on this at this level is going to be roughly equivalent to what they contribute. And to be perfectly frank, we're just going to have to be okay with calling it a wash. And therefore, ICANN will not this community good discussion. But what that by the G and the theoretical maximum based on this model would be a $4 million contribution. Given how many so I just had that debate, I can tell you. But we have to so the theoretical max to be of 4 million based on today's rate of pay would be 3 million. Obviously, the number that ICANN has provided sits right in the middle. And when I said a couple of moments ago, you know, really, when you come to a conclusion on what the number is, $3.5 million, then really it's a fairly simple, although somewhat contentious, equation in terms of how do you get there. There's only so many variables in this equation. There's not that much flexibility in terms of how you try to get to the end number, and you know, we certainly had a model that we played with and tried different scenarios, and then as a result ended up looking at increasing the number of bands, et cetera. But this, at the end of the day, was the conclusion that we settled upon as the most reasonable articulation of how the equation can get to the number we should get to. So the math is the math. Try to get to the bottom right, and we will have some time between here and Buenos Aires to have more fulsome comment from the whole community on it. This is really the first time, when I say the whole community, I mean this community, the CCNSO community. You can see the variables here. I'd encourage you to look at it and get comfortable yourself that there's only, maybe this is an expression from home, but there's only so many ways to skin this cat. And I think we've found the most reasonable balance, although I'm sure everybody in the room will look at their category immediately and go, oh my God, that's not fair. But, you know, when you start to look at it as a full equation, this is as equitable as we can make it. So that's where we have landed, and I think that, you know, the path forward here now is to have some more feedback from this community to the finance working group, and then we will be working towards socializing what we have here with the other community groups that are important. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a relationship between the CC community, the individual operators, and ICANN staff, senior staff, to, quote, make this deal. But nonetheless, they are feeling pressure from various communities. You know, if any of you read the comments, public comments to the budgeting process, you'll know that comments were made about what this community is paying or not paying, as the case may be in the comments. So we need to make sure that those communities are comfortable, that this is a reasonable, rational, and logical outcome of this working group and ICANN's efforts over the past couple of years. So with that, I wanted to open it up for some conversation. Leslie, did you have any comments to start with?
Okay, thank you, Byron. So I think just a couple of comments or thoughts from me. This appears to be one of the longest sagas for the CCNSO, I guess. So I think many of us would be keen to see it drawn to a conclusion. And although for many years we were waiting for financial information from ICANN, since we've received that, there's been some really good progress made. I would just like to highlight two things. Firstly, the figure has gone down significantly, which is progress in exactly the right direction, because even though the banded figures are somewhat scary compared to what some are paying currently, it would be considerably more had not that value exchange concept be proposed and agreed. So you'll hear us repeating value exchange when we meet with the ICANN board, and the intention of that is to reinforce and keep reinforcing. That's what we've agreed, and we think it's an incredibly good way of dealing with this issue and recognising the contributions that the CCs make. So I'd like to say thank you, because I know a lot of work has gone on onto this area over many, many years, and it finally feels as though we might almost be there at the end of that. So, on that, let me open it up to comments, questions, observations.
And Liz, I'd like to just make one more quick comment, because I didn't mention it. The other thing we've been working with ICANN is around the duration of this. I mean, as Leslie just pointed out, this has been a very long saga, in part because ICANN took a very long time to get us the numbers. But nonetheless, I'm sure it's safe to say we would all like to put this behind us for quite some time, and I think they would too. So they are very willing to look at a fairly lengthy term for whatever the final agreement looks like, and I think that could put this issue behind us, give us confidence that it's settled for quite some time. So I think that's also a positive step forward from ICANN's perspective, and certainly for ours.
Okay. I saw Oscar.
Thank you. Have we thought in any effort to ensure these contributions, these voluntary contributions, any consequence or any at least some social pressure to ensure this level of contributions?
We certainly had, you know, as a working group, we had considerable discussion around that particular issue. Because it's voluntary, the practical fact is there's limited pressure that can be exerted. Like today, the facts are published, who's paid what. It's out there in a very low-key way. We will continue to publish that information, but as a voluntary regime, there really isn't that much that we can do to really force or drive this beyond hopefully convincing all of the members of this community that this is fair and equitable, that ICANN does deserve some compensation, and that as a schema, this is the most equitable one that can be devised. So we talked about naming and shaming, you know, we talked about the kinds of things that you can do in a voluntary regime, but really we settled on the fact that the list is published, and that will be it.
Just for the transcript and also for remote participants, can we ask you to say your name before you comment? That was Oscar Robles from Mexico. You, and then I have Patricia next.
Okay, Jörg Schweiger from .de for the record. I'm more or less heading in the same direction Oscar did. Looking at our number, I see there's a substantial increase. It's even more than 100%. I assume that some CCTLD managers within the room will experience more or less the same fact. So as still within this regime, the real number of contributions from each CCTLD manager is still up to their decision. There might be a good chance that we as a community will fall short. And I'm asking about, is there anything that has been discussed with ICANN, with the board, what should be done if we do fall short and over a certain period of time? So one thing would be naming, shaming, and trying to force us to provide this amount of money. The other chance would be to reduce cost, on ICANN's side. And when I'm looking at the current numbers of the budget of ICANN overall, and there are some impressive figures in there, like 50 million for process optimization and stuff like that. So I do have an inclination of looking at the expenses of ICANN in other fields a bit more than trying to get out of this community the last 100K or whatever is needed to almost reach a level where ICANN would say, well, we're fine with that contribution. So had there been discussions with ICANN, what will happen if this community falls short on the long-term basis?
So I think there's two key questions that I heard in there, which are both relevant questions that we did have some discussion on. At the end of the day, and that's why if you look at the figures here, there's the $4 million figure and the $3 million figure, recognizing that some are not going to pay, some are going to underpay based on the bans, et cetera. But that's up to ICANN to try to persuade the individual CC to actually make that contribution. I mean, again, in the title, it's voluntary. So ICANN recognizes the fact that we could, as a community, fall short, and then it's up to them to try to encourage the individual CC to contribute. So they're well aware that this is not a guarantee, that this is a framework and a guideline, and then it's up to them to actually try to collect. And I don't mean collect like in a collection kind of a way, but I mean to convince that there is value and it's worthwhile being a participant here. The second half of your question, at least as I heard it, was around ICANN expenses and the rapidly increasing budget, which we did have significant discussion with Xavier, who's the CFO, about that very topic. And one of the things that I think is... it's an implicit benefit in what you see here, but maybe I'll make it more explicit right now, is a commitment that we would not see an expenditure uptick, because the expenditure increases are really happening in other areas of ICANN, not directly related to us. And even though we may experience the benefits of process optimization or whatever some of the other big-ticket items are, that we would not see the number change here. And in fact, we talked about the relative proportionality. The fact is, as we get 1,000 new TLDs or whatever the number is, in some instances, therefore, the proportionality of CC would, relatively speaking, decline. Some would stay fixed. We probably will continue to just have two board members. There will be some inflationary pressure upwards, presumably. But at the end of the day, some of the items that would start to decrease as a result of relative proportionality would likely be offset by some of the ones that have some natural increases just through inflation, et cetera. As a result, without getting into really detailed five-year modeling, which the ICANN Finance Department is not prepared to do, and I would argue is just probably not in a position to do, they're just saying, we'll be okay with this number for 5 years, regardless of what happens to the budget.
So can I just add to that response? One of the question areas for the board in just a minute is around the likely surpluses that will exist at ICANN. So what we're trying to do here is solve the CCNSO question and then move on to a more broader discussion around ICANN finances that the CCNSO can play a part in, having parked and resolved the issue of contributions. Yeah. And Byron's right. There's things that take that figure up over the years. There are things that will take that figure down. But what we don't think is that there will be any significant or material movement in that, unless it's downwards, of course. Okay, so I had Patricio, and then I had Sabine.
And Andre.
Thanks, Leslie. Patricio Boblete from NIC Chile. I have two comments. First one is, I think, more of a matter of principle than practical importance. And that has to deal with how we measure our participation in the governance part of the expenses. I don't think it's correct to say that that's two board members out of 16. I don't think that's part of what ICANN spends. I think it's actually the opposite. That's what we contribute. We contribute the time of two members of our community for the work of the ICANN board. So that's our contribution. What ICANN spends, I think, should be measured as the proportion of the board time that's devoted to CCTLD issues, like number of resolutions or whatever. Whatever comes out of the work of the board that has to do with the CCTLDs, and I guess that's less than 2 out of 16, less than 1/8. So I would make that distinction. And my second comment is that if we as a community feel that that's the right number, that we should contribute like about 3.5 million, then we should also take into account that not all members of our community pay. I think that's our problem. So we should increase the contributions, the suggested contributions, so that the estimated total that's actually paid matches that number. And I think that would be, that puts the ball more in our court, part of the court, and that would generate, I think, a bit more peer pressure. So if everybody meets not their obligation, but if everybody pays whatever they're supposed to pay, then the average, the contribution for each one of us would actually decrease, because we wouldn't be needing to pay for the part of our community that doesn't.
Thank you. Those are good comments.
Okay, so I had Sabine and then Andres. And just while the microphone is moving, can I just pick up on, I think, which is a bit of a theme about people who don't pay. And I think we need to be a bit careful about that discussion. I'm very much aware from conversations with individual CCTLDs that it's not that they can't, they're not that they're not paying, it's that they can't pay, because of the stage of the development. I mean, some of these figures are scary for larger CCs. They're just as scary for some of the smaller CCs who are struggling on a shoestring currently. So I think it's really important that we don't get too much into peer pressure about paying on the assumption that these people have money that they're just holding back on paying over. That isn't necessarily the case. Sabine?
Okay. Sabine Doldra from .de. I want to have one comment and one observation. And when I see the slices, I still think there is a service I can bring to us, and that's the INR function. And I think there we really should have a clarity about that the service is a service, and it's going, and there are clear service measurables. I also appreciate the notion of value exchange and the that there idea there are different value and there is an exchange of values. But when I look, if there is a value exchange, I think there should be also a sort of a before the value exchange happened, a value proposition and an agreement about. That actually that what we are now supposed to pay is contributing value to us. And when I see the IDN program on our list, that is a program actually which causes a lot of harm, frustration, and problems actually to the group here, because of this group was not actually involved in that. It was involved in a way that they are have to deal with people telling them how to deal with IDNs, where we know it's much better. And now it's on our check. All the money which is spent for academics in the U.S. doing bi-salary reports about linguistic problems in Bangladesh versus Kyrillic. And I think that is something we really have to change, because when we start such programs, which are so expensive and that took so long time, we have to start with a value proposition, and we should start with a boxing, because now we pay actually for something, or we should pay or ask for paying for something where that caused a lot of frustration to that community. Why?
I think that's a question for ICANN as well, not necessarily the CCNSO itself. I don't know if you want to come back at all, Byron.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. It's a fair comment. It's not per se a comment for the finance working group in terms of a specific program and your dissatisfaction with the service level. I think many of us would probably have felt that way. It probably, I think the comment is good in that as we make a transition to a new regime, there's an opportunity to highlight particular issues, and that would certainly be one of the key issues, because I know the IANA function is often a source of contention.
Yep, but when we say there is a value exchange, why is that on our checkbox? There was no value in that.
So I guess the notion of this is not meant to be a service model, that is true. Of course, there are some services that ICANN does deliver for which there is a cost to deliver them. So we've tried to find a blend. It's not crisply black and white. And this, the IANA function is one of the clear services that ICANN provides this community. Whether you like the quality of it or not, is a kind of a that's a different discussion. But it is a core service that ICANN does deliver to this community.
I'm mindful that I'm going to have to cut this conversation short, and that's not because we're not trying to recognize your point, Andre, and then we really need to go to the board, which I think is a bit of a trek. So, okay.
Andre, Philip, .cz, I have one remark. You know, seeing your table at the screen, we should probably increase or contribution by 5. So it's a lot of number, and I will probably have a hard time to explain my General Assembly why this item in the budget is increased so much. But I will try my best. But it's complicated in light that we recently hosted ICANN meeting, and we spent much more money. So the remark is about we should probably include those money for hosting, as many of CCTLDs host the meeting, in the contribution. I know it's not in the ICANN budget, but we spend more than what we are talking about contribution, you know, times more on hosting. And it's money spent on the ICANN community. They are not in the budget. They are not in your tables. So I think it would be fair to say also that CCs are very significantly contributing to hosting meetings, and it's a lot of money and resources spent on hosting. And you Byron, hosted recently as well, so you know how much money it is and how much resources did you spend on that. So I think it would be fair to include it in the table.
Thanks, Andre. Agreed. For anybody who's hosting a meeting, I mean, clearly the number is typically much larger than the contribution being suggested here. As a community, if you look up here, it does say CCTLD meeting hosting, and it's a negative. We're deducting a roughly representative figure for the hosting contributions for a year. It's about halfway down the shared. That doesn't specifically address the individual CCs who have spent that money, but it does recognize it and allocate it across the community. Now, that doesn't solve your problem or my problem or .cn's problem, who've all just recently hosted meetings, but it does recognize it community-wide.
Okay, I don't want to truncate this conversation, but I think we need to come back to it after we've been to the ICANN board. I know I have you at the mic, but we need to be at the ICANN board at 10,
and I have a reputation for getting to places on time. So if I'm going to lose that for my last meeting, that would be a dreadful shame. What I suggest is that we ask him to give us a bit of time from the IANA update, which I know doesn't normally take its full slot, and we come back to this after the coffee break. And importantly, that will give colleagues some time to think about other questions and reactions, and also for me to ask you if you still are supporting this direction of travel, and if we'd like to have some more thinking and work around this to give some feedback to Byron and the working group. Yeah? Okay. So if I suggest we go to our engagement with the ICANN board, which is in Hall 6, and then we'll come back after the coffee break, at 11 o'clock, and we'll continue this discussion then. Thank you.